House Speaker Kevin McCarthy and his GOP allies are meeting with President Biden tomorrow to discuss raising the federal debt limit, something Democrats want to pay the country's bills. Republicans want Biden to agree to major cuts to domestic programs and limits to some defense spending going forward to pay for this debt already incurred. Biden says he won't fold under the pressure, but if Congress, meaning Republicans, refuse to raise the debt ceiling, the government could default on its debt for the first time ever, potentially by this summer. Now, we have been here before, and it's not pretty. Princeton historian Julian Zelizer is here to take a look at today's news through the prism of history. Hi, Julian.
Hi, it's nice to be back with you.
Nice to speak with you. And let's listen to what GOP Representative James Comer, a chair of the House Oversight Committee, told CNN earlier this month about the need to limit government spending.
We cannot continue to operate with these types of deficits. Our national debt is one of our biggest threats to our national security.
And now, Julian, as you know, Democrats say the biggest threat is that the money's spent and the U.S. has to pay debt. So talk about those arguments from both sides. And what happens if the debt ceiling isn't raised?
Yeah, I mean, one argument is what to do about spending and the debt. The second is it legitimate or useful to do this through the federal debt ceiling? And all that is, when you raise the federal debt ceiling, Congress agrees be able to borrow what it needs to pay for what it's already agreed to pay for. And the danger is that in the last decade or so, this has become a tool, and we've seen the Republican Party use it to try to extract spending cuts. And if this is not raised, it has the potential to set the country into default and cause all kinds of economic chaos.
You know, everybody says that, all kinds of economic chaos. Can you just give a couple of examples?
Well, I mean, some of it can be very specific in the government not being able to pay what it's obligated to pay to Social Security recipients and Medicare recipients. And then also in terms of other kinds of investments that have been made in the government, the U.S. can't pay it back. So this is the ability to pay off all our bills. And by not raising the debt ceiling, the House Republicans would essentially say, we're not going to pay our bills. And obviously, in a global economy, that will have major ramifications.
Right around the world. You know, don't lend to the U.S. They don't pay their bills. But again, the Republicans say we've got to somewhere, somehow, you know, whittle down those bills, while the Democrats say, yeah, but as long as we incurred them, we have to pay them. So there we are. And it becomes this game of chicken. How did this happen? The federal debt ceiling was enacted by Congress in 1917, and for decades, raising it went pretty well. Then it didn't. What happened?
Yeah, I mean, two big breaks. One was in 1995, when the Republicans take over Congress and there's a shutdown of the federal government and the debt ceiling gets tied into that. And all of a sudden, it becomes a tool that's part of the package the GOP is trying to use to push President Clinton into cuts.
Yeah.
But the major moment is in 2011, when the Tea Party Republicans come to town, and they try to force President Obama's hand by making a pretty serious threats not to raise the debt ceiling. In the end, Obama concedes to a lot of the spending cuts that the Republicans want. They do it again in 2013, and Obama's very frustrated. He says this is not a legitimate way to negotiate. It's hostage-taking. It's demanding ransom. And he says he would never do that again. And so that 2011 to 2013 period is a real break, where all of a sudden this is normalized and weaponized as a tool in budget politics.
And again, in 1995, which you mentioned with President Clinton, it was Newt Gingrich, newly empowered when Republicans took over Congress, and it was the beginning of the Tea Party, and this idea of, you know, kind of ideology through these tactics. But Julian, maybe stupid question. These are lawmakers who are also voting for the spending that's happening, that's leading to the debt. I mean, why isn't this done before there's the need to raise the debt ceiling?
That is the question. It's not a stupid question at all. That is what many policymakers, certainly Democrats and many older Republicans not in office, say this is how it should be done. Because then you can have those debates over the budget. It delays the budget. It can get ugly. But you're not threatening the economy by doing this. And this new shift that we've seen since the Gingrich era and then the Tea Party era has just elevated the stakes. It's a period of no guardrails, partisanship, And they're not handling this in the proper moment, and they're forcing a crisis that doesn't need to happen.
Well, and so with your eye, you know, on history, what do you think happens now?
Yeah, I hate to predict because I think we're in a moment, and we saw this on January 6th, where you can't say, well, everything will resolve itself, because sometimes it doesn't, and it can get pretty ugly. This generation of Republicans, the Trumpier Republicans, I think are much more serious about going through with this than even the Tea Party. So the question is, what kind of leadership can Kevin McCarthy exert? Is he potentially willing to work with Democrats and a handful of Republicans in a step that would threaten his speakership to get through this? And how far is Biden willing to go in the end to negotiate? At this point, he says he won't, but maybe he's willing to make concessions. I don't know where this all goes. We obviously hope it doesn't go to a worst-case scenario.
Well, and there are reports that House Speaker Kevin McCarthy agreed to this strategy in order to become House Speaker. We'll see where this goes. Princeton historian Julian Zelizer, thank you.
Thanks for having me.